Sports and Recreation Center on the campus of the College of Staten Island. It's time for the Dolphin Pod, the official College of Staten Island athletics podcast. With your host, David Pizzuto.
Austin Mick with a 9-point lead. Mick flying to the perimeter, gets it over to Latunji for three. Dolphins work it back up to 12 points.
In-depth stories, reviews and previews, interviews, and so much more. It's all right here. And now for the Dolphin Pod, here is your host, David Pizzuto.
Welcome, Dolphins fans, to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com and from wherever you are tuning in to listen to us today. My name's David Pizzuto, broadcasting live from my home in South River, New Jersey, and on the line, of course, co-host Nick Duran, broadcasting from his home in Staten Island. Nick, how are you?
Doing good, Dave. Really excited about the show this week. And, you know, listening to that show last week, that was one of my favorite ones, I think, that we've had. And, you know, I know you held that one dear to your heart because Nick's a colleague and works with you. So that was a really fun show last week, I have to say.
Yeah, me too. I listened back to it, and I think there was a lot of education on that as well, like of different, you know, up-and-coming future broadcasters, anybody wants to get into the industry, and just kind of hearing Nick's story and how he's kind of developed was really cool. I enjoyed it as well. I thought it was one of our better interviews. So we thank Nick Durst, who was our guest last week, talking to us about podcasting and being involved in sports media. And, you know, on today's show, episode 20, we have a special guest. It's one of our own CSI student athletes. Mike Sorensen joins us from the CSI men's swimming and diving team. And Mike is a super senior, fifth year senior on a Macaulay Honors Scholarship, has about 500 different majors at CSI, is involved with student government. He's also a staffer like Nick Durst. He's one of our major photographers. So we'll talk to him about everything like that. But it's nice to kind of get back on track, Nick, with talking to some of our students. I know it's been a few weeks now since we've had a student on. And it's nice to kind of get back to their perspective and how they're dealing with, you know, remote work, remote learning, COVID, lack of practice, et cetera, et cetera. So it's nice to kind of get back on track.
Yeah, and you know, usually when you say super senior, it's for the wrong reason.
Yeah,
so
right, exactly.
this is the time where it's really for a great reason. Really excited to have him on today. And you know, I think I don't know if you set it up like this, but it worked out perfect that, you know, the semester's starting up again, and then now we're getting our student athletes back on the air. So again, like you said, exciting time to start up the end of the winter and the start of the spring.
Yeah, would love to take credit for everything falling into place, but no, actually, you know, we get, you know, we have a certain type of like method to the madness of booking guests. I know that we set something up way back in August regarding who we wanted on, and, you know, kind of fell into place regarding, you know, schedules and things, but no, you're right. It does fall kind of at a nice time because, you know, Mike's team and Mike himself, he got a 4.0 over the fall, and now we're looking at the spring where he's going to look to be finishing up. And a lot of our student athletes did such a great job in the fall, and now they're turning the page to the spring. And one of the questions I have prepared to ask him, and doesn't matter who gets to it first, Nick, is you know, now that the one semester is kind of under their belt with regards to remote, how differently semester two is, how much more prepared they are, just like the professors are, just like the admin are, just like you as coaches are. We're all a little bit more seasoned. So I'm interested to gain that perspective because everybody we spoke to was all about being in the moment, right? About how are you adjusting right now? How has it been treating you? Well, now we finally get some perspective of, you know, how was it and how are you looking forward to semester number two? So that's, you know, that's pretty unique for us.
Yeah. And I think we're going to get it either going one or two ways. I think it's going to be, wow, now I look at it like a drag because I know what it was, or I like it better than, you know, actually going to class, which not many of our student athletes have really came across yet. Mm-hmm. But it'll be really cool to get, you know, his perspective, especially a Macaulay's kid. Somebody whose workload is a little different and somebody who really likes to be on campus because of the atmosphere that Macaulay's gives them and the opportunities Macaulay's gives them. So it'll be great to hear from that side of a student athlete in the McCauley's program.
Yeah, for sure. So we can't wait to talk to Mike about that. We're going to have him on the flip side of our break. Before we get to that, though, Nick, you know, we've reached a part of the show, obviously the entry, where we kind of go over the week that was and preview the week upcoming. And we're back to esports, amazingly. It kind of crept up on us. I was talking to Alberto Sanchez, who we've had on this show a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, first game's February 1st. And I was like, ah, it's still a while away. Meanwhile, it was this week. And, you know, we're recording our show, you know, obviously for premiere on Friday, but we've got a lot of stuff going on. You know, we have a lot more sports, a lot more games, and their roster, they have a squad out there. We're talking about like 30 plus kids. Talk about a program that's growing, Nick. That program is growing, and they've been sensational so far. This first week has been pretty interesting. And you yourself have a couple of basketballers who haven't been back on the hardwood yet, but kind of sort of have been, right?
Yeah, a little bit. A little virtual hardwood floor there. Chris Velasquez is doing NBA 2K. He premiered last night and looked great. Most of the team watched in with him. And our manager, Shabari, as well, is doing 2K, who played last night. So exciting to see, you know, people that we actually know jump into it. And then, like you said, this sport is just really taking off for the CSI atmosphere right now. And, you know, we really enjoyed it the first time around with games we weren't too familiar with at the time. So now I think it's really cool to see, you know, NBA's on there, Madden's on there, Super Smash Brothers are on there, Rocket League, which I'm a little more familiar with than Overwatch and Valorant. So it's cool to see games that, you know, we can relate to a little more and not have to learn as much and just truly sit back and enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I'm really excited, you know, for this esports to continue this year and ongoing, because, I mean, Alberto Sal is doing a great job putting it together.
Yeah, for sure. And I was having a little fun with Shabari on Tuesday night when NBA 2K was being played, and telling him that our first ever victory against powerful Division I powerhouse Florida State University belongs to Shabari Noyce. You know, he's got the first one ever in NBA 2K, and he beat, obviously, his win was against Florida State. But yeah, NBA, Madden, Rocket League is new for us. Same thing with Super Smash. So two sports that we're used to, two games, Overwatch and Valorant, we played in the fall for the ECC. We're playing those games now for the ECAC, which is another conference that we belong to. So CSI is now a part of two conferences with esports. And within esports, they'll play Valorant, Overwatch, Rocket League, Super Smash, NBA 2K, and Madden 2K21. And for the ECC, they'll only participate in Rocket League. So a little bit different, two different leagues, two different schedules altogether. There's a ton of teams in the ECAC, like 70 plus when it comes to things like Valorant and Super Smash. And then with things like NBA 2K, you know, Chris is playing, and one of our other players, Daniel Shostak, they're playing with just, you know, 16, 18 kids. So you're talking about a very large ECAC conference, and they're singled out there. So from week to week, you know, we get to kind of live vicariously through those kids with the sports games like Madden and NBA. And just talking with Alberto, all of our games are going to be streamed, even if there's multiple on each day, because CSI Esports now has a second Twitch channel that we're going to carry things on. Wednesday night, for example, one channel has the Overwatch and one channel has Rocket League. And then, you know, for the NBA and the Madden games, for the single player games, the individual players will Twitch out. So it's great. I mean, every night basically of the week, there'll be some esports going on. So the program has grown. If you're not a fan of esports, you should be. There's a lot of really fun things going on there, and a lot to be proud of. And I will mention, Valorant was a winner this week, so they continue to stay undefeated as well after winning an ECC championship. So a lot of exciting things happening, Nick, and I'm sure over the spring semester, we'll have a lot more to report on esports.
Yeah, and if I had a guess right now, I'm assuming Shabari is at the trophy shop getting a trophy made of that first victory.
Listen.
Hey, it's history, right?
Yeah.
One first, way or another.
I say it all the time. First is forever. So he's always going to be the first person to ever beat Florida State in anything at CSI.
Yeah, for sure. But like you said, this is a really cool thing, the esports. You know, when I first heard about it, it was kind of like, that could be cool. But like just being in it, it's so cool. It really is. And again, there's so much to cheer for. Like you said, there's going to be something on almost every night of the week, or there's going to be different Twitch accounts. Like there's just so much going on, and it's so cool to be involved with. And especially at a time where we don't have live sports, this is something you can dive into, and it's really enjoyable.
Awesome. Terrific. And, you know, you speaking of sports that we can't dive into, I mean, one of the student athletes who would love to be diving into water right now is Mike Sorensen. Mike is a senior on the CSI men's swimming and diving team. He's been a sensational student athlete, just a great person, a great student, great athlete, a lot of achievements, comes from a CSI family. His older brother, Chris, was a swimmer as well for us. So we're going to speak to Mike, and we're going to talk a little bit about all things swimming and student athlete, remote learning, the whole nine yards. We'll get to learn a lot more about one of our sensational seniors. Michael Sorensen joins us on the flip side of this break coming up next. Stay with us. This is Season 2, Episode 20 of The Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
You're listening to The Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Champions know how to seize opportunities. When they see moments of greatness unfold right before their eyes, they push as hard as they possibly can. And then they push harder. Because the heart of a champion never settles, never quits, and never stops giving its all. We are champions. We are Division II. We go big, we give it everything we've got, and we win. On the field, on our campuses, in our communities, for our causes, in our careers. We rise to become champions in everything we do. We are Division II, and there are no limits here. We make our time count. We set our own path. We become champions on our terms. It's time to up your game, because we're here to play and learn. But most importantly, we're here to discover ourselves, our vision, our heart, our drive to achieve every goal we aim for, because we want to be champions at the highest level, life. At Division II, the opportunities are here. Are you ready?
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Welcome back, Dolphins fans, to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com/podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 20, as we premiere our show on Friday, February 5th, 2021. It's time now for Nick and I's favorite part of the show. It's the part where we get to sit down virtually, of course, with a special guest. And today, as we mentioned in our preamble to this segment, Mike Sorensen joins us. He is a senior from the CSI men's swimming and diving team, accomplished in the pool, accomplished in the classroom, jack of all here at CSI. Mike, how are you today?
I'm very good, Dave. Thank you so much. I appreciate the introduction.
Of course, of course. And I know, you know, Mike Acolytis, your head coach, kind of pitched us this story because of all of the things that you're kind of taking on. 4.0 this past semester, which is kind of usual for you, I will say. You're unique, Mike, because a lot of students, you know, they graduate from CSI, they have a, you know, a degree in their major of choice, but you're a little bit different. Tell us a little bit about your academic pursuits right now and what you are juggling at this stage.
Yeah, sure thing, Dave. So, I mean, you definitely kind of hit it on the head with a unique situation. Even explaining it to friends and other people that I discuss my academics and athletics with, you know, they find it very interesting to hear. So currently I'm pursuing 5 majors. That's across three bachelor's degrees. 2 of the majors are in communications, 2 are in business, and 1 is in economics. So it is a hefty load to kind of bear.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about, like, what's going on internally in your head that says, you know what, I want to do all five. Is it because of career aspirations? Is it because of just sheer interest? And also, how does that really, you know, how does that really jive with your schedule? Like, what comes first? What's the priority? Do you knock one out right away, or do you do them in order? How does it actually work with balancing them all?
Absolutely. So a lot of the courses require prerequisites. So I did have to spend kind of some intense scheduling and planning semester by semester to kind of really map out until graduation. I have, like, in a way, a kind of roadmap. Mm-hmm. My aspiration to take on the load did not initially start freshman year. Freshman year, I really was uncertain for what I wanted to study. I was actually leaning towards political science from my experience in Scouts. I'm an Eagle Scout myself.
Gotcha.
But from meeting with a member of my fraternity, his name is Vincent Villafane, we had been speaking to get to know the brothers and kind of the trajectory they're going in within college. And he introduced me to an entrepreneur, someone that was into marketing, and it kind of piqued my interest. So I started off with a major in communications, corporate communications and design digital media, mm-hmm. kind of motivated by the trajectory that he went into. And then from there, it kind of always just snowballed into picking up interests as I was taking more classes.
Mm. Great.
Yeah, and you know, now you talk about a tough workload as you got as a normal student. And, you know, now we're in these times with COVID. How has the workload been for you? And can you kind of describe what the whole school has been for you this last semester working online with the workload that you have?
Yeah. So, you know, post COVID, things have obviously been very different. The atmosphere, the environment, really working from home. I'm sure everybody can really speak to that about a test. For myself, you know, when we were going into the spring semester last year, and that's kind of when we were all quarantined and locked down in March, I was already taking 22 credits, which is one of the heftiest loads I was starting to take. And it was definitely cumbersome. It was definitely a challenging semester, taking classes in communications and starting to take some of my higher level business and finance classes. And the adjustment, you know, definitely required some attention. You know, as a student and as an athlete, you know, you realize that you have to be very flexible in the things that you tackle. So I had to adjust the way I approach my academics and set up a system that really allowed me to get the most out of my classes and perform very well.
Yeah, and, you know, we ask a lot of student athletes that we have on this question, you know, do you prefer this life that we have set up of not going to class, prefer to going to class? What is, like, your take on your learning style? Do you learn better in class? Are you enjoying this time being sitting on a computer?
Yeah, it's definitely a great question. I know I've spoken to teammates on my team and talking about their experience, because I know that, you know, a lot of us face our own challenges with the learning being remote. Personally, I feel like I've been able to learn just about the same and absorb the material that is taught in the classes and the lectures. Having this remote kind of setup has allowed me to be a bit more flexible in my professional life as well. Part of the reason why I decided to graduate with five majors is because my father has a small business in Sunset Park, and we do real estate and property management. So having this remote schedule allows me to kind of check in at the office remotely and do some work from home, which normally I wasn't able to do being on campus. But I certainly do miss that in-person feel, being on campus, being in 1R, you know, being with my teammates, being in the pool. So those are many things that you really can't do at all remotely. And many of the things that really make your college experience.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, working with your dad's business, you know, with real estate, also Sunset Park, which is where I grew up, by the way. Sunset Park, it looked a lot different back when I was there.
Very different
than it does
now. I've heard my dad's fair share of stories.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and you know, so that's, you know, even added, you know, to your, obviously to your plate. And, you know, I guess it kind of makes sense that you're an athlete and that you have athletics in your life, because a lot of athletes, you know, do tend to take on a lot by nature because they like to be busy. They like to be active, obviously. But I also get the sense, Mike, in a case like yours, that athletics kind of is a nice counterbalance to all the real, you know, intellectual things that you're doing, to the workload, as a simple cause for enjoyment and a cause to kind of, you know, be, you know, I've heard swimmers say when they're in the pool, it's just the pool, right? You don't have a lot of the other thoughts on your mind. Have you used athletics as that kind of vehicle in your life to kind of counterbalance what you're doing otherwise?
Absolutely, Dave. I honestly think you kind of hit the nail on the head with that one. Even from a young age, I was always very active and involved in many things. Swimming I took on in high school at Curtis, and I swam my 4 years there. And while in high school, I was very involved in my scout troop. I was one of the senior leaders. I was also involved in New York City's National Honor Society. I was the highest officer in the city. And swimming for me was really that 2 or 3 hours of training each day where I could really just work on myself and my own personal development, my athletics, and build some discipline, which I knew would really help me later in life. And truthfully, a lot of it comes, my value that I derive from swimming comes from that team atmosphere. Mm. I always enjoyed being a part of a team and putting people forward and bringing them up. So even in college, you know, I find some of my greatest enjoyment being on the team, from speaking with my teammates, the goals that they have, being on the team, helping them try to push further and accomplish more. I derive a lot of value, and that kind of counterbalances the stress or a lot of the workload that I kind of take on. It gives me relief to work and help other people kind of accomplish the things that they're working on, the things that they're doing.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you mentioned that about, you know, building discipline through swimming, and obviously, you know, with the team mentality that's involved, because a lot of people look at a sport like swimming and think that it's supremely individual. And, you know, and I say this to Mike Acolytis all the time. I think what separates his teams from a lot of other swimming teams that I see is that when we're at meets, I'll see a kid run their race. An opponent run their race. They go back to wherever they're stationed on the pool deck, and they'll put their Beats headphones on. They'll have a towel over their head, and they're tuned out until their number is called again in the meet. And your teams are different, and they've always been that way in my experience, that everybody does support one another. Everybody does rally around one another. When someone achieves success or achieves a personal best, everyone rejoices. And I think that's something that helps you guys as athletes later on in life, when you're in a corporate setting, when you have to celebrate, you know, achievements in the workplace or even family. So, you know, you could definitely see the mirrors and the parallels there. And I think that your program specifically has kind of instilled that, and it does kind of extend that kind of team mentality. Can you talk about, you know, a little further about how well organized the team is and how well you support each other, and quite frankly, how much you guys like one another?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I certainly think that our team and our program really creates that atmosphere for some well-defined competitive and support, that good balance between the two. I really think it's a couple between two things. It's the nature of the sport. Many people, like you said, believe it's very individual, but it's so team oriented beyond the levels that, you know, a spectator can really notice. So it's that really that swimming pool atmosphere. And furthermore, I think it's the accomplishments and the direction that our coach, Mike Acolytis, has brought us in. Our team has always been one that's been very collaborative, and has always pushed each other to drive, to perform, and to accomplish maybe better personal records, for faster times in certain events, to even try to set new records for the CSI team in the pool, and to even perform very well in academics and everything we really do as a student athlete at the college. In particular, you know, when we're in the pool, you know, there's racing between athletes, you know, pushing each other, maybe at the last segment of our practice, where one of our athletes, Sammy Ginia, will challenge maybe Peter Carl, one of our graduating athletes, or one of our other high-performing swimmers in an event, which Sammy may not always swim, just to challenge them and try to see if he can compete to the level that they compete at. And it really creates a very relaxed, comfortable atmosphere where you can challenge each other to perform better and also support each other in trying to do better in a very comfortable way. It's been fantastic to be a member of the team.
Great.
Yeah, and I could really attest to that. I mean, I think it was 2 years ago, we had a scrimmage at Mount St. Mary's, I want to say, and you guys were swimming on the same day, and we went into the pool after to watch a little bit, and the only team that was jumping up screaming was CSI, and the only coach that was screaming at the top of his lungs while everybody was swimming was Coach Mike Acolytis. So
yep.
I could definitely attest to that. And even with, you know, you guys around the building, you're always around. Sammy's always around. You know, the swim team has such a presence on campus. You know, you going into your fifth year, I would love to hear, like, maybe something from the early point of your career that maybe when you weren't the leader, you know, what some of those guys, you know, instilled in you that you continue to grow into the program now. And you know, Mike was on last week or 2 weeks ago, and he was just talking about how much of you grew into a leader and how much you mean to some of these younger guys. Did you get that same feeling from the older guys when you came in?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Nick. You know, I kind of was a bit fortunate in the fact that my older brother, Christopher Sorensen, was a member of the swim team. So I had, you know, been introduced to the atmosphere and the camaraderie and some of the team members within his year. And some of those team members became some of my fraternity brothers because they introduced me to the chapter we have at CSI. And some of those guys, you know, the mentorship they provided to me in various aspects. For example, Christopher Pinto, he became our founding president at the chapter of the fraternity. I remember in particular, I always swim the 100 fly or 100 freestyle or, you know, shorter events like that. And I remember going up, you know, to the block and Christopher Pinto pulling me aside and telling me one of our kind of mantras from the fraternity to motivate me to, you know, breach the threshold that I was trying to breach and get a minute five in my 100 butterfly. And, you know, having that iconic moment that I wouldn't have necessarily expected, you know, just having been a swimmer for 4 or 5 years as a freshman, that very interpersonal, very deep and meaningful moment between just myself and another teammate to motivate me in just a simple few words kind of pushed me to really swim that event and kind of bring something out of me that I didn't necessarily think I could have pulled out without having that external kind of push. So it's fantastic, the mentorship that a lot of the older guys really provide to the younger guys in the early years.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, especially just in life. You know, you always need somebody to have your back. And, you know, I think you guys do a great job as a program. And you know, I think you can really see it in the pool, obviously in the classroom. But, you know, it'll be my last question about any kind of COVID. I promise we'll keep it light after this.
No
but,
worries.
You know, you guys, me and Dave spoke about this before. It's easy for one of my basketball players to just pick up a ball, go to the park, a baseball kid to go play, have catch. You know, you can't really just jump in a pool anywhere because of limitations and where you can go. How has it been for you, the team? Like, how has this COVID thing been towards your team? And then how have you guys been communicating? Obviously, probably Zoom calls and stuff like that.
Yeah, certainly. So our team has really been trying to, you know, keep together as much as we can. We're really not as fortunate as other teams where they can, like you said, pick up a ball, maybe being on track, go for a run in your neighborhood. We really need that pool to create our team. Without that, we really have difficulties, you know, performing our sport. So as a team, my coach, Mike, he's really been focused on trying to get us to meet together weekly or bi-weekly to kind of talk about the things that we're maybe facing in remote learning, any challenges we're having, to begin discussion about certain topics that we can all kind of speak together and build some of that team chemistry back since we're not necessarily in person. On an individual basis, I know a lot of the members of my team, you know, us being all very focused on our athletics, may have joined a gym, kind of maintaining that discipline that we learned in swimming because, you know, in season we would train, you know, maybe 10 to 15 hours a week, and we would be in the pool at 7:30 in the morning and getting back in at 2:30 on certain days, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that change in routine was probably very tough for a lot of my teammates, and a lot of us have adapted and joined gyms or maybe got into yoga or certain, you know, exercises to really just maintain that routine that we built up within swimming. So those are some of the ways that really us athletes have kind of adapted to the situation to still maintain our discipline and the things that we're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, when we, you know, had a conversation with Mike too, one of the questions that we had to ask him was if and when the team does get back into the pool, how far behind do you think the team will be? Because I know a lot of swimmers tell me, hey, Dave, if I miss one day of practice, it's going to take me 2 days to get back what I lost. You know, for every day you're out of the pool is another 2 days of work that they have to put in. Now, you're a little bit of a different example because you are a senior. You're coming towards the end of your career. And so, you know, you have a career to think about. You have degrees to earn. Where does swimming still have a place for you? I mean, obviously, we're in this kind of weird phase where our building might open up at some point, where our team could maximize time for practicing, but it looks like there won't be any competition for the winter sports. And, you know, where does that leave an athlete like you right now?
Personally, I was very fortunate to be awarded a fifth year from Macaulay. Mm-hmm. It's an extended tuition funding opportunity that only 10 students actually across CUNY were awarded, and it's prolifically for sophomores and juniors. So fortunately enough, I get to enjoy my fourth year being a senior, mm-hmm. Hopefully in the pool. But, you know, truthfully, in the circumstances we have now, my perspective moving forward is really to offer that mentorship that I fortunately got with the many years I've been on the team, and offering that to some of our underclassmen, freshmen, and sophomores. I know that, you know, there's a handful of members on the team that I meet with individually to kind of just talk about their career plans or their academics, help them pick classes or what majors they should consider. For example, another member of Macaulay Honors, her name is Sabella Wasserman. Mm-hmm. Within Macaulay, there's a mentors program, and I wasn't necessarily her mentor because you're usually paired with a junior and a freshman, and we're just only a year apart. But I've taken on that kind of mentor role, and periodically she'll check in with me and say, hey, Mike, look, I'm really debating this idea. What do you think? I was looking at these courses and I was considering maybe leaning towards this major. How do you think this would impact maybe my future, my career? And I've honestly gotten a lot of value out of that, because those are many of the things that I really enjoy working in a team, really helping each other build. It's a lot of things that I really learned through scouts, being a servant leader and putting those you lead first beyond your own interest to kind of help them grow. So, we may not be in the pool, but I've been deriving a lot of value still being a member of this team and trying to help other people on the team grow personally.
Oh, that's really great. And I'm sure it's, you know, it's a value to them, but it's also a value for you because it's preparing you for, you know, that mentorship role in the workplace or, you know, wherever it is that you're taking it beyond college, obviously, when it's all said and done. And, you know, you had mentioned one of your pursuits in college, or one of your intended pursuits in college, was political science. And I guess that's where your role on student government kind of takes shape, right? You know, have you always had an interest in serving in government, and what made you take yet another leap and serve CSI in a student government position?
Absolutely. In high school, I was interested in student government, student leadership. I was very involved within scouts, so I felt I didn't have the time to offer to my high school. But going into college, it was something I was interested in, and my brother at the time was a member of the student government and suggested it's something I should explore. And a lot of the direction behind that was because of both of our mutual experience in the scouting program. Myself, I've always enjoyed learning about how organizations operate, the culture that's created, the program and what they deliver. And when it came to student government, when I became a senator, I became really involved in the operations and how we deliver the student activity fee and how we really bring the best student experience to the members of the CSI community. So I invested a lot of time really learning about the things that we fund, the activities, and where students really derive the most value. And I've learned tremendous amounts about how to lead an organization, how to best allocate assets and resources to provide the best experience and to be the most efficient we can. And it's been a wonderful experience, an experience that, you know, truthfully, a lot of students our age may not realize that, you know, colleges offer. And it was a great program that they have at the Student Life at CSI.
Great.
Yeah, and you know, we spoke about Macaulay a bunch, but, you know, I think it's a really unique opportunity for young men, young women. And I think, you know, my kind of question is going to base around, did you understand that coming in? Because, like, we're recruiting a kid right now that is a Macaulay's candidate. And I feel like maybe at this age, do you truly understand it, or is it something you grow into after you get here, just the all-around achievement of what Macaulay's is?
I certainly believe that with a lot of the experiences you have in life, you really mature with the idea. A lot of us are inclined to, you know, pursuing new ventures because, you know, it's interesting or it sounds good. And to be honest, that probably was my perspective going in to freshman year and being recruited to join CSI and to Macaulay. I just knew it was a prestigious scholarship. I knew that, you know, some of the brightest usually get into it, the most well-rounded. But I didn't know what it really meant for me in terms of the personal growth, the development, the mind shift that I would get from having great advisors. We have fantastic advisors in Lisa French and Anita Romano. Whenever I have to check in and consider, you know, my planning for these five majors, because there's been many Zoom calls and many conversations about how I should plan my trajectory. They've always been there to support, and really having those dedicated individuals to support you has really made the difference, you know, in really planning out my academics within college.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. Again, it's really a program that sets you up for success, and I think you're well along the way, as everything we heard so far. But my one main question is just, how much do you miss the pool? How much do you miss swimming and just maybe even going to those 7 a.m. practices? How much do you miss all that stuff?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't think in March when we got quarantined, I didn't think initially that I would have missed it very much because of having to wake up at 7:30. But now that we're months out, closing in on a year, that I truthfully do miss, you know, having that wake up call at 6:50 from a friend on my swim team who's like, Mike, look, you can't be late to practice again. You know, we have to get in the pool at 7:30. We got to be on time. And rushing in, running in at the last minutes, trying to dive into the pool. That rush, truthfully, I didn't think I was going to miss, but I truthfully and dearly do. Being in that pool for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and just training and pushing each other lane by lane, and the sets that we did, really was a great experience to really build deep relationships, deep friendships, personal growth, you know, between each other. And it's something I certainly do miss. You know, when Mike used to say, we have to swim 2100s at a certain time interval, and whenever that time hit, you had to dive right off the block again and complete your set. You know, it sounded ridiculous at the beginning of practice, but when you finish those sets, you just feel so accomplished and ready to take on your day. And it was always great to have that start in the beginning of the day, going into your day, taking your classes and everything like that.
Yeah, that's great. And that's insight that we don't normally get. So it's that's great to hear. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, obviously, you know, missing things, you know, due to COVID. And, you know, you're in a unique position too, Mike, because, you know, you had mentioned your brother, Chris, and I spoke to Chris right around the time COVID happened. He's a nurse, right, at Mamamides, I'm assuming.
Yes.
He's still there. And you know, we were talking about how scary the situation was at that time. And, you know, we're all relatively young people, and COVID's not supposed to hit us as hard as, you know, maybe some other demographics. But I know that at the time that I spoke to him, it was a scary situation, and every day was bringing in some new things. And, you know, you talked about that period of time during the initial shutdown. What's it been like having, you know, a brother who's, you know, obviously not too much older than you, dealing with COVID every day? You know, what's going on in your household because of that? And how have you guys been able to kind of live in that COVID world, especially having a family member who's a first responder?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a different experience. You know, families that don't have people that are first responders or frontline workers, you know, don't really have the same perspective kind of going into everything that we've experienced in the pandemic. My brother would come home and basically report to us about how full his unit was and, you know, how long certain patients have been in the unit for extended periods of time because of how serious their cases might be. It certainly was scary. You know, it's something that you normally wouldn't expect to hear from somebody that, you know, comes home from their day and just, when you ask them how their day went and they share these stories, it's just not the normal response you were hoping to get. You know, you would hope to hear, you know, today was a good day and my friend brought lunch for me or something like that. But it's a different experience. You know, even myself working with my father, we have a small business and we manage real estate and property management. We were forced to close our business, and it's the first time my father's business, who's been in business for 35 years, ever had to close its doors. And in the same extent, you know, these properties, which we had to collect rent from tenants, we had to pay bills for the owners. If there was an issue with a leak in the building or a maintenance concern, we had to be able to contract vendors to go in there and do work. You know, that experience is very difficult, especially with the uneasiness that was really brought on in March and April with the lack of knowledge, you know, surrounding COVID. It's very tough. And, I think, you know, a lot of us have grown from these experiences. And, you know, though it's been definitely a tough experience, it's been rewarding in a sense that we've gained a lot of perspective.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, for sure. And I'm glad you mentioned that perspective because it leads right into my next question. And that is, you know, obviously the fall semester comes and we've been thrown into this remote world. I teach one class at CSI, and I know that, you know, having to make the transition from being in front of a classroom to now doing it all online was tough for me. And I could just imagine how tough it was for the students. So now you're in a position, like many of our students, where you've done it for a semester, and now you're getting set for a second semester. You're just starting, obviously, with the spring semester. What are some of your takeaways from the fall? You know, best practices, things you learned about remote that maybe you didn't know before, things that will help you, you know, perhaps indefinitely, even when we do go back since we've been online. So can you tell me a little bit about the perspective that you've gained from having already one semester under your belt with remote learning?
Absolutely. I actually speak about this quite a bit with a friend of mine, Michael Stora. Mm-hmm. He's also a member of Macaulay.
Sure.
And my practice, whenever it's really come to anything, is I'm a very system-oriented person where I like to design an all-encompassing system about how I approach things in life, whether it be academics, whether it be athletics, whether it be about my career and the things I do with real estate with my father. I like to create systems that make it the optimal or optimize the energy required to do the work. I know that sounds a bit complex, but to put it in simple terms, in regards to remote learning, I created, you know, a place where I always go to do my homework. I import all the assignments and all the lectures and all the class material into one central place. This way I reduce the amount of time it takes to find documents or know when certain assignments are due. I personally use a web application called Notion. Okay. And I basically create a digital notebook where I store all my course assignments and things like that. So I think really the key to approaching remote learning and to approaching many things in life is really just being organized and creating something that works optimally for you. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that's digital. It could be a central, you know, simple as a notebook. But having a central location to do all of your work creates things and makes it much easier to, you know, perform in your job, you know, an organization that you work for. It really makes things much simpler.
Great.
Yeah, and, you know, we got to keep going down the list and make sure we check off everything you do. You know, you do work on event staff and, you know, you get to work with Dave and work in some of the sports games. You know, can you tell some of our listeners just what you do at the games and how that came about?
Yeah, sure thing. I was always actually interested in possibly being a photographer for some of our sports games. Whenever I attended them as a member of the swim team, you know, it was always great to watch and see the rigor that our athletes performed in. But I always kind of wanted to be more part of their experience. I guess it's that team-driven nature of myself that I wanted to be there for their accomplishments, capture their moments of great success. Mm. Prior to COVID, you know, our women's basketball team had a terrific run, and they had completed their season, you know, fantastically. I don't recall specifically their record, but it was a historic record. And it was amazing being on the sidelines as a photographer at the games and capturing shots, plays, capturing a little bit of video. And I see many of those photos and graphics on the website or on our social media. And it's been great to really been a part of that experience to document some of the great work that our athletes really train countless hours to perform at these events. And it was really great to be a part of the event staff for the department.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, coming firsthand, you do a great job with it. You know, we love having you at the games. We love seeing the product that you put out after. There could be a couple more shots of the assistant coaches, but Coach Tibbs, you know, I know he jumps up and down and it's easy to take a picture and get a good one there, but you do a great job with that. You know, my next question is kind of just based on a swimming memory. You know, you've been part of the program for a long time now. You know, what's something that, you know, whether it's something you did in the pool or something that a teammate did in the pool, just an unforgettable moment through your swimming career?
Certainly. I think the most recent would probably be my most memorable. And it was at a performance at Metros. It was my first Metros, being a member of the swim team. And I guess I didn't have the perspective or knew what was going to be expected. We had, you know, maybe 10 plus teams at the event. And it was a very high intense event where, you know, very competitive colleges were performing. And you saw some record breaking times and really seeing our athletes that trained throughout the whole year, very intensely, especially during the winter, perform and really get some personal records. Even myself, you feel very accomplished. And especially when you're there next to your teammate, when they come out of the pool and you see Mike shout over and say, you know, you broke a minute on your 100 or you got a certain time. It's very great to be by their side when they celebrate that moment, because it's something that you work all the way up to at the beginning of the season, especially how long of a season the swimming is. In particular at Metros, the women's 400 freestyle relay, I think they finished at about 4 minutes flat, which meant, you know, collectively each member of that relay had to swim 100 freestyle in about a minute or less. And it was very exciting to see, you know, them finish in first place and accomplish that time. I know that each member of the relay was so eclectic and so excited, and the energy was so high. It was just a celebratory relay, and it was a great finish to Metros.
Yeah, that's awesome. And some of those memories obviously last a lifetime. You know, Mike, it's interesting. We've already been talking for, you know, over 30 minutes, so. You know, we have time for a couple of more questions. And one of the things that we didn't even get to and we didn't really touch on was CSI's move to Division II. And I know it's a great move, you know, obviously program-wide. But for swimming, it's a little bit different because we leave the CUNY Athletic Conference, which we've had an enormous amount of success in, and we go into a conference that doesn't support swimming. So I'm always interested to hear, you know, what some of the swimmers thought about the move and how to kind of, you know, negotiate the thoughts of, wow, you know, we've moved up this division, but also, you know, we don't really have a conference home yet and we have to try and integrate a little bit more into Metros. Can you tell us a little bit about that dynamic?
Yeah, sure thing. You know, it's a conversation as a team we had going into Division II and continue to have, you know, when adapting our roster and our schedule. And really for us as a swim team, you know, we really approached the move to Division II as just another means for us to become more competitive, you know, for us to really refine our craft and the things we do in the pool. I know our coach Mike has been very rigorous and disciplined in recruiting and trying to bring some high performing athletes in from high school. And those athletes we really are very excited to start practicing with. Unfortunately, we weren't able to because of our season being canceled because of quarantine and the pandemic. But, you know, we're very excited to really all be working together because some of these athletes Mike has recruited are some of the most remarkable I've seen in times, and they're coming in only as freshmen. So really the move to Division II for us helps us kind of refine the environment we compete in and really improve our ability. You know, we're excited to really make a splash in Metros and to be one of the high competing teams, hopefully with the new atmosphere and the new environment we create with these new recruits and refining our, you know, our performance, our exercising and things like that moving into hopefully the season next year.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great to hear that as well. And one of the things you mentioned was, you know, the excitement about being able to work with new, you know, with new talent on the team. And, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm always taken aback when I hear some of our freshmen that we've recruited for Division II and even their parents, you know, make remarks that they've listened to the podcast or that they heard Mike Acolytis on the coach's show or that they heard so-and-so and were excited about the thoughts of coming in. So I know for a fact that there are going to be future student athletes, maybe swimmers, who are going to be listening to this podcast and who are going to be looking to hear what Mike Sorensen has to say about the program before they make a decision to come. And I know COVID has kind of thrown this wet blanket on all of athletics and the whole recruiting process and deciding on which college to come to. But you've been exposed for a while now. You've been here for the ups and downs. You know, you've been here obviously through COVID and remote work and, you know, when the program has been flourishing, you have a great career to look back on and there's still more to come. What can you tell people who are, you know, maybe don't know us that well, or maybe you're just their fans and they don't know about, you know, maybe they've been involved with Division II and haven't heard of us before. What can you tell people about what the CSI program is all about, what being a student on CSI's campus is all about, what it's done for you individually in your growth process. You know, can you talk a little bit about that and some of your lasting thoughts of what CSI and the impression it's made on you?
Yeah, sure thing. I definitely think that if you were really to describe the CSI athletics department, one of the strongest points that's going to come forward is really the culture. I really think that the atmosphere that the athletic staff, the leadership at the athletics department creates is a phenomenal culture that's very supportive for the athletes in themselves, performance and socially. You know, they really create a space where you feel comfortable to come and be a student athlete. I know that, you know, every coach at the department, you know, really feels like my coach, you know, let alone Mike Acolytis being my coach. I feel like John Tardy's my coach, TJ Tibbs, yourself. You know, I really feel like, you know, I really have a place to go as an athlete that I feel very comfortable. And at the same extent, I'm pushed and driven to really perform to a high extent and high caliber. And it's something that you're really not going to get at maybe a bigger college or a more large scale. And we have the Division II program at CSI, and it's something that you can maybe do locally and being very close to New York City. So you really have many things that, you know, you may not realize you want in a college experience here at CSI. And it's something that's very affordable, and it's a great program to really attend.
Awesome. Well, it's been great hearing your perspectives on it, Mike. And I know, you know, when I heard, you know, about the fifth year, I was like, you know, give him a sixth and seventh year. I need him to take photos. he's dynamite. But no, seriously, what you've done for us as a program has been terrific. What you've done for me personally and just being on staff and you know, the photography is never something that I have to worry about. And that's great. And it's clutch. And it's, you know, it's so awesome to have student athletes who take an interest in it and, you know, who really kind of put into action the things that we want to see. Because as coaches, as administrators, you know, we talk a good game, but at the end of the day, it's the athletes who have to do the work. It's the athletes that have to perform. And you guys do such a great job. Win, lose, or draw, you guys are doing some great things in the pool, on the courts, in the fields, improving on times, improving as men and women, who, when you do become alumni, are people that we turn to for guidance, the same way I did with your brother, Chris, when I wrote that article about COVID. So I want to congratulate you for everything that you've done, Mike. I know this is not our last conversation for sure, but it's been great catching up with you and being able to tell your story on this podcast.
Thank you so much, Dave. You know, I really appreciated being a guest here and being able to speak to the audience. You know, I always tuned into the Dolphin Pod, and it was great to hear the coaches and their perspective. But it's really something special when you get to hear the athletes come on the pod and be highlighted and speak about their perspective as a student athlete. I really appreciate both of you guys, Nick and Dave.
Well, we appreciate that, Mike, and we wish you the very best of success. We'll catch up to you soon. And what Nick and I will do is we will take a break, step aside. When we come back, we will wrap up Season 2, Episode 20 of the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
In NCAA Division II, student-athletes leave a lasting impression on their communities. That's because Division II student-athletes want to make a difference and truly be part of their surrounding communities. Through community engagement, thousands of student-athletes from various backgrounds interact with community members who view them as role models. This interaction leaves a positive and perhaps even life-changing impression on all those involved. In Division II, we rise to the opportunity and make community engagement ours.
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Welcome back, Dolphins fans, to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is you listen to podcasts, we are there. This is Season 2, Episode 20. Nick and I were joined by Mike Sorensen on the other side of this break. And Nick, you know, we said that last week's interview with Nick Durst was good. This one was great. Mike Sorensen is a terrific student athlete, great young man. Learned a lot of new things about him that I didn't know before. His story is great, and he's atypical, you know, student athlete, and, you know, kind of typical to what we have at CSI. Very hardworking, very dedicated. It was great to learn more about him.
Yeah, I don't think it could have got better than that today. I mean, even the past 3 weeks, I mean, our guests have been really amazing. We've been kind of spoiled.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mike's, like I said last week, he's a great, great kid. And then just hearing everything that he does, it's kind of speechless, like just thinking about it. I mean, I work a job. I used to bartend. I bounce back and forth. And I thought, you know, I did too much. And just what he's got on his plate is a lot. And you can just tell how bright his future is. And like you say, when he becomes an alumni, he's just such a program person that he's always going to be around. He's always going to give back. And you know, honored to know him, honored to be around him a little bit, and happy that everybody got to hear a little bit of his story.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing that stuck out with me too, during the interview and listening to you guys talk, and, is how, like, you know, I think, we have great kids in our program across the board, you know, but I think like 75% kind of quote unquote get it after they graduate, right? They come back as alumni and they said, oh, wow, you know, I really enjoyed my time. It taught me A, B, and C. And it's very rare. It's like 1 in 4 kids, they kind of get it in the moment. You know what I mean? They kind of recognize what athletics and what college is doing for them while they're here, and they don't realize it after the fact, you know. And Mike is one of those kids who gets it, you know, who just quote unquote gets it, understands what college is supposed to be doing for him, is exercising on that, lives in the moment with it. He's taking the opportunity to mentor. You know, he's not one of these kids who said, man, if I could do it over again, I would have been more of a mentor to my teammates like they were to me. He's doing that now, you know? And I just love that. I love, you know, talking to kids like that. I love learning, you know, from kids, you know, that they kind of get it. And yeah, he's been great. And I meant what I said at the end when I said, I wouldn't mind if he stayed on for 6 or 7 or 8 years, because again, he's one of those kids that, you know, he walks into the room and you know, he's got this, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he's done the work, he's prepared himself. And those are great. Those are dream come true for people like us, you know? So, I was excited to spotlight him. I think this is going to go down as one of our best interviews that we've done. And, it's been great. I can't wait to get, you know, it's talks like these, Nick, that I can't wait to be back on campus again. You know, I mean, that, cause this is what I miss the most.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually thinking about that during this interview. I was like, this would be great just to be in person, just to be there, have the full energy of it. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I think Mike Acolytis is writing up the paperwork now to try to get him the 6th and 7th year, because I think he would want it just as much. And then like you said about, you know, him taking advantage fully of college, And you know, some people don't do that. I mean, like you say, they realize it later on. And he's full swing, all in. So, you know, if we have any, you know, parents that are listening, future student athletes that might be listening to this, this is what a CSI student athlete is. And more importantly, if anybody's looking into the Macaulay program, this is what the Macaulay program offers. It really does offer building you into a complete man or woman before you even leave the school. So I think he's a full embodiment of what 100% what is a CSI student athlete is and should be.
Excellent. Well, very well said. I can't say anything more than that because you summed it up perfectly. So what we will do is turn the page. Next week, Nick and I will be concentrating on outdoor track and field. Right now, there isn't much to discuss because COVID has still kind of shut things down as far as meet schedules and things like that. But our spring sports are slowly starting to tiptoe back into workable shape. Many of our athletes have been cleared virtually for practice. And, you know, over time, we're going to get them back into our buildings, back into our fields. Now, Nick, this 20 plus inches of snow hasn't really helped our cause any with outdoor sports. And I think we kind of predicted this, right? We're going to be okayed to get back on campus and then it's going to snow 2 feet. But all that aside, we are going to try and turn the page to spring sports and find out what they're up to. And we're going to start with track next week.
Yeah, excited about that, you know, and especially thinking about track, you don't think about the snow outside, so that'll help us get over that. But it'll be exciting, especially, you know, moving forward into, like you say, the spring sports and hopefully getting them the wheels turning and talking about live sports.
Yeah, so certainly if you're interested in the spring sports, if you're interested in the campuses reopening and things like that, next week is a show you'll want to tune into because we're going to have some more information regarding that is concerned. Again, hopefully some more winter weather, which is expected this weekend, stays away and it allows us for more opportunities to get back on campus. But otherwise, we're going to continue to move ahead on the Dolphin Pod. It never snows on the show. So Nick and I will be around next week to take you through it. Until then, we want to say thank you for tuning in. Obviously, for Nick Duran and Mike Sorensen, I'm David Pizzuto wishing you a great rest of the weekend. Go Dolphins, and thank you for tuning in to the Dolphin Pod.
You've been listening to the Dolphin Pod. Remember to check us out next week when we bring you a brand new show. And check out our archive broadcasts throughout the year at www.csidolphins.com/podcasts or on any of the broadcast channels like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Breaker, and Google Podcasts. If you have questions, comments, would like to be booked on the show, or have an idea for a guest you'd like to see on the show, be sure to leave us feedback. And catch all of our shows right here at csidolphins.com/podcasts. From all of us here at the College of Staten Island, thank you for listening to the Dolphin Pod.